Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We're still living in good times, ladies and gentlemen. The international window hasn't closed just yet. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Konnichiwa.
And Pete Donaldson.
Konbanwa.
Oh, World Cup qualification time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's back.
It is back, and England are still there. They're well on course.
Quite literally still there at
the moment.
Well on course. Recording.
Yeah, we're recording right after full time.
We watched it. We
on
sat
on the middle
it.
Of the pitch. Hello, Wembley! Luke hated international football, the international football break last week, that he just thought, sod it, I'm not turning up.
He crossed the channel. He's in Atlanta. It's some kind of Comic-Con, I think.
He went to a country...
Crossed the channel?
Yeah. Well, the big channel. The big old Atlantic channel.
He went across the Atlantic to get to Atlanta.
Where is Atlanta?
It's somewhere
is it in France.
It's in France, don't worry about it.
I should say so, yeah. We'll come on to the French in a bit, eh? Mm. Have a bit of fun with that one.
Okay.
But before that enormous dollop of fun, what about this piece of fun? England beat Slovakia 2-1, ladies and gentlemen. Put them to the sword. Southgate sword.
Skewered them.
It's a double-edged sword, Jim.
It looked like their legs were swords in the first half. Janky shots, janky passes. Love it.
Gareth Southgate spoke before the match about a desire to see his side excite the fans at Wembley. When we turned up to the studio to record, I said, "Do you know what, Jim? It's a bit of meat.
I'd love to see him excite the fans at Wembley."
Well, not literally.
Or whoever was there.
Go around every seat. But I said, "Jim, this is there's a bit of meat on these international bones for this one." And you said, "I couldn't care less."
If I'm completely honest, it's sometimes how England make me feel, though, when I'm approaching a game. Obviously, I want them to win, but you know, you're not sort of like, I don't know, you're not necessarily as excited and pumped for a game as you might be.
I bloody was.
Well, you always
qualification for England is always fair on the easy side, I guess. No, but this time they have made it a little bit more difficult for themselves to a certain extent.
And as you said, when Slovakia scored, And we all went, yep, that seems about right. You said that's probably the best thing that could happen.
Exactly. Otherwise, you would have seen out 0-0 to half time.
No,
and
you
then
wanted Slovakia to win.
I wanted Sunderland to win.
Yeah. I mean, England would only lose at some point, yeah, so get it out
exactly
of the way.
But it was a qualification match, apart from the obvious ones against Scotland, particularly the one at Hampden, yes, because, you know, the old enemy and all that kind of stuff, even though a lot of people maybe don't care, but a lot of people do. Actually, this was reasonably meaty as it goes for the qualification
game,
which is why England qualification campaigns, yes, we sometimes think, oh, that's good, we've got a fairly easy, a more straightforward group when you look at some of the other teams. You know, Spain are a seeded side, I think. I'm pretty sure they are. And they get Italy. You know, England never get a side who you think, oh, they could really push England. Slovakia, I know England really laboured to a 1-0 win away under Big Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, it's mad to think that that was this qualifying campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, well, surely England now will get to Russia. They only need 1 point from their final two games. They're at home to Slovenia and away to Lithuania, for crying out loud. So Big Sam Allardyce does take some of the credit for what we see in front of us.
A pint of credit.
Yeah.
in a hotel bar.
No doubt. Where was I going with this? Oh, yes. I think that Big Sam should get the points.
get the points, but accept them with a serviette over his face.
Exactly, but Slovakia know how to play against England. We saw that in the Euros when they drew 0-0, and they were very, very close. It was that fortuitous Adam Lallana goal in deep into injury time. Slovakia started the game, and I think they thought to themselves, do you know, England, they didn't really create that much against them. They thought, we can bloody have a go at these. And for the first 20 minutes or however, Slovakia were on the front foot and playing some nice football.
I think the thing with England sometimes as well, is particularly if you get an early goal, is you can let them kind of become their own worst enemy for a bit. Do you know what I mean? Just sort of just stand off them a bit, let them have the ball, just put up a wall, see if they can probe and if they've got anything. And often, sadly, the case is they don't, and then they get frustrated and they sort of lose their heads a little bit. Or not necessarily lose their heads, but kind of run out of ideas. But luckily, we got the breakthrough with the Eric Dyer goal. And we've seen this so many times with England. They get back into the game and you just sense they'll win it then. It's that sense of panic, that kind of idea that, oh, we might mess this up. And I don't know whether this is us projecting that onto the team. Mm. But it certainly feels that way a lot.
Well, they certainly looked very nervy in the first 10, 20 minutes. There were just so many errant passes and weird things happening. It was like when you start a video game and you've not made the controller the right settings. You've gone alternate instead of new or whatever.
You've got Pro Evo controls for FIFA.
Yeah, exactly. I just expected that to be a shot. It seemed to be I just booted the ball up in the air.
I'm giving the finger.
Dele Alli did do a finger at one point. That was a lot of fun
to see.
We should
probably clarify that he raised his finger.
He raised his finger.
Did a finger.
Did he raise his finger in anger?
It looked like he was very much being very jovial with it. Okay. Waving it around with wanton abandon, but it was definitely an up yours.
That's fine. Well,
Thank you very much.
There was a bit of a Spurs contingent, as there often is in this England side, and they won at Wembley, so well done to them. But Dele Alli was quite crucial in the first half because Slovakia getting that early goal, we've seen England over the years when they go a goal behind and they got nervy, as they did. Some of their play wasn't as fluid as it might. But yes, there was the odd move here and there, but you thought this could turn into one of those potential disasters.
Well, like Dele Alli and also the Ox as well, he just kind of spent most of his time just charging into the D and going, I'm the enforcer, I'm the enforcer, I'm going to take the ball off and then hammer the ball.
I will play down the middle
and I will hammer that ball at the defender's legs and not score a goal.
Yeah, he kept on doing that, bless him, for the whole game, and I like that kind of perseverance. But he does need to have a little bit more guile sometimes and going forward, but Klopp will get that out of him surely.
Alli does have guile though, doesn't he? He can unpick a lock, and that really was telling, and it was, you know, well done, Dele.
Yeah, well done.
Important
indeed
that we had him.
Indeed. Well, England, as I say, beginning to look nervous, but as you say, Jim, Dele Alli looks like one of those players. He could develop into one of those England players where you think, maybe we can hang our St George's crosses on him. Do you know what I mean? In the way that years ago, some of us are old enough to remember when Alan Shearer was an England international, and less so, obviously, in terms of years, David Beckham, but further back when you think of the likes of Paul Gascoigne and so on. They knew what to do when
your
they
match
wore
winners.
Exactly. They knew what to do when wearing an England shirt. And you could argue, for the large part, Wayne Rooney did. Maybe at certain tournaments, not, but that was a collective effort, I would probably argue. Dele Alli could be one of those players, because sometimes when you look at that England team, you think, OK, Harry Kane, yeah, he's scoring a few goals at international, that's good, hopefully he'll become one of those players as well. But Dele Alli, I think the first half looked like, no, come on, lads, we're not going to get nervous, we're not going to give this up, we're going to dig in here. And they got their award through the calf, I think it was, of Eric Dier. Yeah, then went on a one-man mission to try and get a booking, and he earned that booking after about 72 minutes.
He could have had three or four bookings, you've got to say.
The referee was very lenient.
I think after he'd had that booking, he was like, I should have got that booking way quicker. Yeah. I'm going to really see really what the boundaries are.
Yeah, can I get a red card? And if it wasn't for the referee...
Can I fly a missile over Japan? He's thinking. Can I?
Peter.
Just testing boundaries.
Politics is not for this show.
Okay. I don't think it is.
All right, fair enough. Well, we'll come on to that in perhaps when we talk about Hungary. But with England, where were we? Oh, yes. Dele Alli running for... Oh, that was the decision. Kyle Walker should have been sent off.
Yeah, I think he got very lucky with... From the ref's point of view, I think he thought... I think he almost thought that... The defender's foot, which kind of stumbled on the ball, was Walker's foot. And it looked like he'd made a really clean challenge. But in fact, he just knocked him onto the ball.
I think as soon as he saw the referee without a card in his hand, he thought, I've got away with it. Hooray! Yeah.
Massively, he was lucky there.
He was fortunate because, you know, sending off for England would have gone in. But they went in at 1-1. And in the second half, actually, England then put the pressure really on Slovakia.
They looked a lot more assured, I think, and they looked a lot more relaxed.
Will a half-time team talk from Gareth Southgate do that?
Apparently so.
Well, to be honest, I sort of said that. At the time I said, look, these players look so nervy. And if you want this calming, Ritalin in human form, Gareth Southgate, he's there for you. He will calm you down.
Well, maybe what he does is just shows them that Pizza Hut advert he was in and just goes, do you want this to be you?
Yeah.
This could be any one of you this could happen to.
Is that not what puts the fears in England players, though?
Well,
they'll
who knows?
Be the one.
Yeah.
Like penalty shootouts. Why are England so riddled with fear with penalty shootouts? Because I don't want to be the one. And when you start thinking, I don't want to mess up, what normally happens?
It's you
the
mess
need.
Up.
They have a need to avoid failure rather than a need to achieve sometimes when it comes to such situations, Peter.
I think Gareth, before the match, sounded quite... He's been quite spicy. He did like a joke about Yaya Toure and his birthday cake and stuff like that.
Did he?
I thought he was... he sort of said, because it was his birthday over the weekend.
Warming up
the
crowd.
Said, did you have a nice birthday, Gareth?
They
and he was like,
I had a cake.
And, actually, no, he said, I didn't have a cake, but luckily I didn't have Yaya Toure around me. And then he apologised for insulting Yaya Toure. He rolled it back.
God, he's had that material knocking about for years, hasn't he? It's got to be from the after-dinner circuit. It's like, still got it. Gonna roll it out, make sure it still works.
But he made a big play about talking about the fibre of the squad. In previous generations, his generation, for example. I would have liked to even name names, to be honest, but obviously that would be incredibly unprofessional. He sort of said that a lot of players didn't turn up. We selected this amount of players, we got this amount of players, and we're really happy with that. England players want to play for England.
It's amazing that's ever the case, isn't it, that a player would get a call up and not go, because that's what he was intimating. And apparently this squad is apparently unusual in that they all turn up.
But I mean, what I would say is that you're probably, with that squad, they are quite a young squad, so I imagine managers are going, look, I reckon the experience might be good for my players, so send them away.
And agents getting them in the window, in the shop window, or the transfer window, of course. But I think when you say about people not turning up, there were a few high-profile cases of people maybe turning down international call-ups.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, in the media recently, Chris Sutton came out and said, didn't he, that he was a bit petulant because he was chosen for England B, and he felt that he should have been chosen for the senior side, of course. Now, he did have a Premier League winner's medal, or Premiership as it was then, under his belt, and formed a very good partnership with Alan Shearer. So you can understand his frustration.
I certainly do see it from Sutton's point of view. I think we were young at the time. We all wanted to see the SAS up front for England, and we never got to see it.
Well, we had our own SAS,
which was probably better.
Absolutely. But you know, it was a shame that they never got a chance at it. But you know, it's still a petulant thing. But I sort of see it from a young Chris Sutton's point of view, and kind of understand the climb down from old grumpy Chris Sutton's point of view.
Chris Sutton with joy in his heart. Imagine that.
Do you reckon he did though?
That have been the moment?
Maybe that's it.
Maybe the misery
turned him into
England
the grouch we
B,
know.
Yeah, the England B call up was what tipped him over the edge.
He's obviously seen it as a call down in a way.
Yeah, maybe he has. I don't know. But when we were talking last time, last week on the preview show, about Tim Vickery's column or article about South American players, they always go, even if they're just going to sit on the bench, they'll travel pretty much 24 hours to go and do that. And I forgot to mention at the time, but Ryan Giggs couldn't be bothered going from Manchester to Cardiff, could he?
He's absolutely charming. He's now punditing on the England games.
He could have got an Uber there. He's
not
even...
Not in those days, he
couldn't. Not in those days, no.
Crying out loud,
Peter. Taxi.
Yeah,
there we are. An Old Trafford taxi.
But Gareth Southgate was also outraged. It's fair to use that word, that people have been claiming that the players lack pride when playing for England. And Jim, you said something. We were discussing this during the game, funnily enough, because people often say they don't want it, they don't care. But sometimes they want it too much to the point of that fear creeps in as well.
Yeah, well, Southgate himself said that sometimes you'd feel it on the pitch where, like, maybe you stretch for a ball and you didn't quite make it. And it wasn't because you weren't trying. It was just that a game like that is at such an intensity that actually it takes up a lot of energy, so it burns off a bit quicker, and it actually you're busting a gut, and it has this weird effect of making it look like you're not trying that hard.
How dare he suggest that pride doesn't equal goals?
No.
How dare?
Has he learned nothing?
Gareth Southgate, the England manager. We've got to stand for something. If we don't stand for that, what do we stand for, Marcus?
I have no idea, Peter.
It's disrespectful to Alf Ramsey, isn't it?
And the three lions.
All of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, each of those lions. Yeah.
Have they got names?
They probably do.
Yeah. They're all called Cecil. Cecil, Tony, and I'm trying to think of another famous tiger.
Okay.
Lion. That's gone well, hasn't it?
I mean, you're a former zookeeper. Surely you should know this.
That's why I was fired. Have you put a bath mat on that lion? Tiger. Shit.
Is it accurate to say that you were a former zookeeper? Obviously not a current one, but...
No.
Zookeeper, is that
I was
strong?
Allowed in the zoo for free every day. £50 a week I got paid. And I gave him £50 worth of work, I tell you.
How long did you have to stay in your cage for throughout the day?
There we go.
Oh, you see. Southgate also said that... No, this wasn't Southgate, it was Eric Dyer, sorry. He said that there's a wide variety of clubs represented at England, so there aren't the cliques that there used to be back in the days when you'd have the Liverpool clique, the Manchester United clique, and so on and so forth. And with a lot of new faces and young players coming in, a few older heads, actually, that obviously represent England nowadays. I think Gary Cahill was saying that when he joined the England setup a number of years ago, that there was older players around and there was a fewer younger players, and you kind of got in line with the vibe of what was going on. On the latest Acast Plus special where I talked to Kevin Gallagher, he talks of Alan Shearer, I think at Newcastle, like having his own table, and apparently that would be the case with England. Like Shearer and his mates would have his own table when you'd go in for dinner and so on. And so other England managers and other managers of other clubs, you know, this is the bane of often managers' careers, is trying to get rid of the cliques and so on, as we mentioned before.
And Jimmy Vardy went in and punched Alan Shearer, whoever the strike was at the time. Jamie's guy in prison.
Jamie Vardy's given his own table. Nobody wants to sit next to him. But Dyer reckons that, you know, it's a good thing there's not the cliques and so on that exist at the moment. One man who was very good at bringing them all together, of course, was Mr. Goran Eriksson. But let's move on from that.
United by boobies. Hey, look at this porno I've got. That's what he's like.
To be fair, under Eriksson...
To be fair, he was sexy.
To be fair, under Eriksson, the England cap was actually quite united. How do you know, Marcus? Because I've read books around this.
All right. Very underwhelming books, I imagine.
Southgate also said that he liked Marcus Rashford's mentality. He's a good young player, of course, and he comes across that he's got the right attitude. And my goodness,
finishing. Well, I know it's a good one this time round.
Who scored the winning goal? Who scored the winning goal?
Right, that was good, but he had a stinker earlier on.
Would you
and he's had stinkers in the past.
What do you mean stinker?
He had a stinker against Swansea.
Well, that's not for England.
I know, but he's had a stinker against Swansea.
Still got to put them away, isn't he, if he's going to be consistent.
Yeah.
And did he put it away?
Not
he
against Swansea.
Are we talking about Sven?
He tried to dig it on Fabianski. I'm not having it.
Marcus Rashford, it was a great goal. And he is now filling that role that kind of Danny Welbeck did. We likened him to Welbeck before in the case that he's probably not front and centre number nine material in what you're alluding to with the lack of finishing and the lack of goals. But actually shooting from distance is perhaps a forte of his. He had a cracking shot that hit the post for Manchester United. Yep. He looks quite deadly. And my goodness, for England, he what a goal he got, and it was the winning goal.
Well, he has been criticised this season for not being able to put the ball away, but I do think he's just been hanging around in the England squad with Rashford too much. Sorry, with Will Welbs. Because obviously at club level, he can't find the net, but in England level, he can really... he's got a decent goal record.
A bit like like Peter Crouch.
A bit like Peter Crouch, exactly. But we've got these players that can somehow lift themselves for the national team.
Very
but
few of those
but
players.
But they're all in like forward positions. We could do with someone who can sit back in front of the defence and kind of pull the strings a little bit.
England have lacked a player like that for ages. Yeah. I mean, during the game when Slovakia at times were getting on top of England in that first kind of half an hour, whenever it was, I thought for the love of a Sergio Busquets or a Mascherano or a Xavi or something. Do you know what I mean? A player who...
Even a Xavi.
Well, because Busquets and Mascherano...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. That type of player that would anchor that midfield. And England haven't had a really good anchor for a while.
Which, as we were saying before, like you even get this when you play five aside. You know, you get a sense sometimes that there's one player in the midfield, either on your team or on the other team, that is in charge of it. You know, the person that is really sort of marauding around and bossing that, and is you know, the player to beat. And as you say, England haven't had someone that instills that sort of confidence in you for a while.
Still won though, didn't we?
We did.
Skirtle didn't stamp on anyone. No, we got away unscathed. But he'd been wearing like a hairnet all week because he bust his head open for Fenerbahce. He busted head in Turkey, and he's been wearing like a mad kind of hairnet,
like a satanic dinner.
I was really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Oh, why are you wearing a hairnet?
Because I want to be as badass as Martin.
Because you've been kooking, haven't you?
Been kooking.
But yeah, England at top of the group with 20 points. They've got Slovenia at home next, and then Lithuania away. I think a point in any of those two games will do them. So England surely going to top
the
group.
On the way to Russia.
But England have done Scotland a favour, as they so often have throughout history. especially with the EU referendum, of course. And Scotland, they're up there. They're 1 point behind Slovakia. But Slovenia in the hunt as well. So don't count them out as well. So England could do Scotland another favour when they play Slovenia at home. But Scotland play Slovakia at home, and then they're away to Slovenia. So Scotland have got two huge games coming up. But they got a good win away to Lithuania. And I know it's a game they should be winning. You know, Lithuania are only above Malta at the bottom of the group. But that's the kind of game Scotland have coughed and spluttered.
Absolutely. That's often been the problem, isn't it? It's the games you worry for Scotland when you look at the games that they should win, because they've dropped points in the past.
And they look very commanding in that game. Robertson scored a great
peach.
Goal.
After that match, apparently 2,000 people bought tickets to the Malta match. Like, in the hours after they beat Lithuania.
Yeah, there's a bit of a buzz. There was a bit of a buzz when Lee Griffiths scored that first free kick against England. They were nearly off their heads when he got the second, you know, and Kane calmed it all down. But that point, though, that they got against England was huge for them. And actually, Scotland, it was, I think, towards the end of last year, was it, when they lost 3-0 back-to-back to Slovakia and England. I mean, in that game against England, they actually started okay without going over unnecessary old territory. But England ran out comfortable winners. They didn't look solid. You know, again, we used to say this about Scotland. Learn from Northern Ireland, who we'll talk about, you know, after the break.
The green machine.
Yeah.
Let's get gutsy.
Exactly. You know, and so Scotland, they have a bit of momentum now to take them into their next game. So it'd be great if they could finish second in that group, to have England, Scotland, possibly even Wales and Northern Ireland.
Do yellows get kind of wiped away after this round of competition?
I presume
it does. Yeah,
yeah, you don't.
Because they've got a lot of bans on the horizon. If they get one more yellow, because I thought this match against Malta, we'd see more yellow cards, but we didn't. So well done, Scotland.
I also like what Strachan said ahead of the game, which was that he did have those five players, and you think, you know, Scotland again, they should beat Malta, but Strachan said, I don't want to take those chances, basically. So I'm going to put my best team out. It's up to those players to sort of just, you know, give their all, but be sensible in terms of not kicking balls away and getting angry and stuff like that. And I like that he's gone big there.
But Strachan was very honest as well when he talked about where Scotland were in the group. And he said, I would like to have more points. That's our fault.
Correct. Correct. Honest.
You can't blame the opposition for beating you.
No.
Well, depends where they are.
Yeah, blame's the wrong word. I know what you mean.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about Wales and Northern Ireland after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
See Wayne getting involved. I saw him last week slapping a wrestler. I'm thinking, why is he getting involved in all that nonsense?
Absolutely right. Mm. Oh, Peter, hang on a minute. You've got something to say.
Hello there. I'm Jock Stone from the criminally unloved TV show The Hurricanes. I'm a no-nonsense Scotsman whose main priority is football. And I want everyone to know that I'm going to be watching the Football Ramble Theatre Show in King's Cross, London on Friday, 15th of September. Yeehaw! Next Friday. What a way to start your weekend. Get your tickets from thefootballramble.com/news. That's thefootballramble.com/news.
That's thefootballramble.com/news.
I didn't think you were going to say that.
No. It wasn't me. It was Jock from the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Who changed accent inexplicably halfway through that.
Well, he had to show his range, didn't he?
Exactly.
Whichever actor played him.
Someone might be listening.
Luke goes away for one show. Normally he does the play.
Oh, yeah!
Pete uses it for a voiceover showreel.
Are you listening? Football Manager, new addition on the horizon, guys, I'm just saying.
You're an absolute disgrace. But before we get into that, do some correspondence, damn you.
All right, then. You got want me to talk some odds, yeah? Right?
I want the listeners to talk more, and they're going to have to use you as a medium.
Well, there's been some extended highlights of the week this week, because we are short on mortal mouth, so let's bolster our output with a little bit of extended highlights of the week. Ben Grogan spotted Keggy in a garden centre eating avocado, prawn and toast.
Lovely.
Wow. Fantastic.
Any mishaps? Surely that's only the beginning of the story.
Presumably he was just having a cup of tea to settle down after a chainsaw incident. He slipped on some nails.
I think he put his foot in a plant pot on the way out.
Tom Byfield, Uruguay, brought on a defensive midfielder in their 0-0 draw with Argentina in the 68th minute, and he didn't get a single touch of the ball. He did manage to give away two fouls, however. I just can't imagine what type of role he was deployed in. Hashtag hatchet man.
Uruguay have got a couple of perfect players for that role.
Yeah.
When they fought their way to the Copa America win not that long ago. Oh, I love it. Absolutely
boys.
Love it.
Tom Driscoll says that he attended a Jim Campbell gig at the weekend. Turns out he's actually funny.
I don't know how to take that.
You take it and you take it good, Sunshine.
Thank you, Tom.
Another highlight of the week comes from Karim Solomon. Mesut Ozil looking at the hornet's nest that is the Arsenal debate and thinking to himself, I wonder what happens to a roundhouse kick that. Which I quite like. Bill Briarcroft says, listening to the On the Continent show, never heard of it, and thinking every time Marcus said the word mention, that if this was the Football Ramble, he'd have said mench instead.
Very professional. Very disciplined, Marcus.
Very disciplined, Marcus.
Horses for courses.
That podcast is full of mentions.
I can defend and go forward.
You can indeed. Peter J. Passmore, Harry Redknapp giving his opinion that the World Cup qualifiers will represent a dead fortnight and that he can't wait for the return of the Premier League. This is all well and good if he wasn't that manager of a club already struggling in the Championship. Maybe you'd be using this dead fortnight to work on fixing that. Sam Cooper, more of a low light, but a kid came into the shop I work in with a Chelsea shirt and a West Ham jacket. is the game gone?
Ooh.
I like that. It'll annoy Danny Dyer.
Yeah. It would annoy Danny Dyer. I mean, I'm trying to think, is it a dig at either of them? Is there some...
I don't know.
What does that make you?
I don't know.
They're trying to make a super team.
Plenty of highlights from the Game for Grenfell match. It's a lot of fun, that was. That seemed like a lot of fun. Great to see Les Fernand nearly scoring a goal. Oh. A nice turn and Finn, but...
Jose Mourinho in goal.
Jose Mourinho was
that
indeed
was the
in
highlight
goal.
Of the whole thing. But
you were waxing...
But he got booked for time, which is glorious.
I love it. It's a proper pantomime villain.
Marcus has been like waxing lyrical about how good he looked in net, and I'm not having it. I didn't think he did anything.
Better than you, mate.
Better than me. Well, that's
he's
fair, dude.
He's 54-year-old right. Jose Mourinho.
But you look at Mourinho, and I know he had a mild crack at professional football, and then it turned out that he figured out very early on, you know, I'm better at telling others what to do, and he was correct about that. But as I say, he's not one of the managers that you think about in terms of, oh, I bet he could still play a bit and so on and so forth. I thought very, very nimble, very, very agile for a man, and he's well into his 50s.
Well, I think you might be
being harsh on people in their 50s. I'm sure a lot of them are nimble and agile.
No, but I'm talking specifically about Jose Mourinho.
Well, David Seaman must be cracking on. And Leo, who was at the game, says that he came over during the halftime break, David Seaman, that is, to sign autographs from many young fans, and when finishing up someone asked him for a selfie, to which the big man said in his thick Yorkshire accent, "Oh, I don't do that, but I'll shake your hand." Which I quite like.
I don't do selfies.
Oh. Yeah. Felipe Melo, I think what, Instagram what?
Is this from Felipe Melo?
It's from Felipe Melo. No, this is from me. This is my highlight of the week. Oh. He Instagrammed a picture of his bedroom, right? And in the background, you can clearly see a framed picture of him punching a Penarol player.
Wow.
Himself punching a player. That's in his bedroom.
That is a heated derby.
Yeah. Incredible stuff.
Absolutely wonderful. I've got one from Charlie Platt here, which says, the director of Ghanaian team Hearts of Oak had some strong words about referee Prince Amoa following a 3-3 draw with Aduana Stars. He said, Prince Amoa is a disgrace to Ghana football. I would be surprised if he's not banned for life. His family should disown him because he's a disgrace to them too. This morning, what I will tell him is that he will not progress in life. His family will agree with me. Strong words.
Bloody wow.
Not mincing his words, is he? He's going to get an FA ban, isn't he?
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Hearts of steel, more like, Jim.
Well, do you want one final one?
Yeah.
Nicholas Gall says that he points out that Sergio Ramos's kid looks a little bit like Ronaldinho, Barca legend, of course, and he kind of does. Check out online. It really does look a little bit like Ronaldinho.
Wow, what a long game prank.
How dare you. Right.
Timothy.
If you want to get in touch with the show, show at thefootballramble.com or around about the time that we're collating these, Monday afternoon or Thursday afternoon, head on over to the Facebook wall and we'll no doubt be asking for your nominations for highlights of the week.
More like Monday morning and Thursday morning.
What did I say?
You said it wrong.
bring back the other one, the hairy one. Bring out the beardy one.
Is that me? Oh, right, okay. Again, wrong.
You're a little hairy boy.
Oh, I see.
He's a big hairy man.
Speaking of little boys, Ben Woodburn. Yes. Got a goal. Yeah. A star is born. Wales 1, Austria 0. What a goal!
Are you trying to heap pressure on him there? A star is born!
Yeah.
Didn't Chris Coleman sort of compare him to Gareth Bale?
Oh, don't do that straight away. Look over the border and learn.
Yeah, I like the fact that Chris Coleman was like, I had no doubt he was going to play for Wales, because obviously he played for Wales at youth level quite a lot. But it's only through his grandfather.
I think Coleman might be assembling a classic World Cup 94 Irish squad. You've got Williams, Vaux, Carnu, all born elsewhere. Yeah. None of them born in the country. And the Welsh youth coach, Brian Flynn, he approached Williams and Vaux, and Vaux in particular, asking basically, do they have any Welsh blood in them? Vaux didn't even know his granddad was Welsh.
Lovely.
Which I quite like. Although Brian Flynn's like Rickard from Blade Runner. He's just going out looking for Welsh people that don't know they're Welsh.
Let's be honest, though, the England team's similar. Mm. You know, there's a number of names there, but Ben Woodburn
is or Rickard. Hey? In Blade Runner.
Deckard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. A good reference for everybody involved there. But yeah, Woodburn, what a goal it was. A great way to announce yourself on the internet.
Yeah, it was so beautiful because the crowd was singing the Welsh National Anthem.
Yeah.
And just as they finished, he slotted on.
Yeah, and it was a very composed finish. But also, I think that happened against Belgium as well in the Euro. So this has become a bit of a thing that they sing the anthem to G up the team. And it actually seems to work. Like a sort of secret weapon.
It used to work for England.
Yeah, quite.
Well, then the band got involved and they're shall we sing this in a major key? No, fuck it.
Pour some booze down my brass.
The chant in the 90s that used to G the England players up, or it certainly G the fans, it was, come on, England, come on, England. It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, if you add a droning trumpet to it, it's even worse.
We need more chance.
Yeah, well, we need some tasteful chance, please, England fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the non-tasteful ones are too old as well. But yeah, we don't like them, of course. Wales are away to Moldova, then away to Georgia, which is a tricky place to go. The Irish got a 1-1 draw there. Probably should have had all 3 points. Unlucky with some of their chances. Top of the group, Serbia. Still have to go away to Ireland and Austria. So all to play for.
Yeah.
And Wales do play Ireland as well.
It's a shame to think that Wales could feasibly not make it to the World Cup, because they had such a good Euros and they just feel like a sort of regular fixture at the international level now, which is crazy after one successful tournament. But I really, really want to see them get there. And I'm actually quite jealous of the relationship that the fans and the team seem to have. You know,
they have that with their national teams,
genuinely energise each other. Yeah, they absolutely do. But in every sport, it's great.
There's less velvet rope, of course, between them and the fans.
That was the thing that Karasaka said, that back in the day there was a bit more of a connection to the fans. I was thinking, was there? Really? I'm not having that.
Well, relatively speaking, there was. But there we are. Northern Ireland beat the Czech Republic 2-0. They're brilliant, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. Northern Ireland have only conceded, I think, 2 goals in the whole qualifying campaign. They've got 7 clean sheets. Out of 8 matches.
But the worry with them was going to be, can they score enough goals?
But they are. This is the thing. Absolutely.
Michael O'Neill said, in the 2014 campaign, we lost the majority of games in the last 20 minutes. That doesn't happen now. Now we win them in the last 20 minutes, and that shows the changing mindset of the players and our improvement. And that, I mean, that's absolutely right, isn't it? They know they can win games.
Can I say that Michael O'Neill is the UK's Jurgen Klinsmann? Because he doesn't actually, well, unless he's moved recently, but he doesn't actually live in Northern Ireland.
Does he not?
He lives in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Eminently flyable, though.
Yeah. It's not imminently as bad as LA flying in. Hey, boys. But yeah, he's done such a wonderful job building on the work of his predecessors, including one Laurie Sanchez, of course, we can't forget. But it's remarkable how the fortunes of a country can change, and we'll come on to the Dutch shortly as well. Right. But I know this has been said, and it sounds like a broken record, but still, they're second in the group, only behind Germany. And Northern Ireland, they beat San Marino 3-0, and they persevered for that result, because that could have been one of those ones where, like the French found out, of course, you know, you can bombard the goal but only come away with a point rather than all three. But they got it, and Josh McGuinness got a double. Incidentally, he nearly quit football when he was playing as a goalkeeper for rugby. And then he could be playing in a World Cup next summer.
Amazing.
Never give up, kids.
What a tournament.
Never give up. But what a win, though, for them. Germany beat we'll stay in that group for a second. Germany beat Norway 6-0. How bad are Norway at the moment?
They're stinking up there, the international scene, aren't they?
They really are piss poor at the moment. They're talking about countries changing fortunes, you know.
Yellow snow pour, you might say.
Their boys took one hell of a beating. Hey, how do you like it?
Hey.
Michael O'Neill, his side, host Germany next. And I love this quote he said when preparing against Germany previously. I think they lost 2-0 away in Germany, which were the only goals they've conceded in the group. I would imagine most coaches do what I do and look for things in your opponents and try and find weaknesses. That's an obvious. You think, oh, they're a bit poor down the flanks, or they're a bit soft in the centre, blah, blah, blah. And he said, although when we played Germany, we made things up, to be honest, because you can't just tell your players that the other team are fantastic.
I'd love to know what they did make up.
Ozil. Have you seen him lately? Yeah. He's a shell.
You know that brilliant goalkeeper that they've got? Nah.
Nah, he's rubbish. He's a hologram.
They edit out all the goals when they're in the highlights package on Sky.
Fake news.
Very true. Yes, Germany, they're looking very good, aren't they?
Yeah, whereas...
only conceded 2 goals themselves, of course, in qualifying.
And they'll be furious about that.
They will be furious.
That's ruined the whole campaign.
One of the goals, talking of highlights of the week, one of the goals they conceded was against Czech Republic. What a dinger.
It was hammered, and also it went in off the bar, which just makes that is just...
But it sort of flicked the bar.
That should count as like half a goal in goal difference when it's tallied up. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
It's rather derisory the way it clipped the bar. Whatever. You get yours, mate.
And then Germany went up and scored the winner.
And a nice header it was too.
Lovely header it was too, yeah, indeed, yeah. And then they hammered Norway 6-0. My goodness. Speaking of clean sheets, though, France 0, Luxembourg 0.
Yeah, well done, France, on your clean sheet.
Bloody
what happened there?
I
love it when you get a result like this.
It's much like Arsenal bringing Lacazette off the bench with half an hour to go.
Yeah.
Did no work again.
Well, France, they could be in the playoffs the way it's going. I mean, Sweden have got a couple of tricky matches, and the Dutch are doing their best to try and finish in the top two. It's quite sad, really, what's going on.
The Dutch hammering they took from France. I know Dutch had a man sent off, but France looked very, very impressive in that game. So that makes the Luxembourg performance all the more surprising. I mean, it's not like they didn't have chances. The Luxembourg goalkeeper had the game of his life. He's 37 years old, born in France as well.
It's fair to say, against Luxembourg, you will get chances. Yeah. All right?
But the celebrations at the end, they were loving life. It was fantastic.
They could have won it.
Imagine
if we'd have slotted that in the corner. That'd have felt like a victory across the world. You know, when like a big side messes up, I'm sure when Northern Ireland beat England, for example, when the time in Belfast, and I was watching the game thinking, I wish I wasn't English. Not because of what happened, but like the football community
when
would be
Iceland
celebrating.
Beat England.
Or when Northern Ireland.
Yeah, another one. Yeah.
When Northern Ireland beat Spain as well.
Oh, that was great.
It was incredible.
Yeah, but it was wonderful.
The previous time France failed to beat Luxembourg in 1914, Franz Ferdinand was still alive and Charles de Gaulle was in his early 20s.
Wow.
This is not a bad little parallel, is it?
And they were a great duo, Ferdinand and de Gaulle.
Ferdinand de Gaulle.
Midfield.
Wonderful.
But they beat Belarus too recently, Luxembourg, so that's 4 points. And they've only ever gained 20 in qualifying since 1930. So, I mean,
the Minnows are doing well.
Maybe they're the next great footballing superpower, Marcus.
Probably not. But their 136th ranking would suggest that getting 4 points on the board is a rather good achievement.
Decent, yeah.
You know, so let's not hype them up just yet. But the goalkeeper, Jonathan Joubert, as you say, Jimmy, what a game he had. 86 caps for Luxembourg. That'll be the best one. Mm. You would certainly imagine. France and Sweden, they are gunning for first spot in the group. So it's going to be interesting. The Netherlands, I mean, that draw against Luxembourg has blown the group wide open, you could say. Well, maybe not wide open, certainly wide open for Sweden.
The door ajar.
It's ajar for the Netherlands, exactly. Yeah, they got a better result against Bulgaria, Robin and Proper getting the goals, or Proper. I know it's sort of Proper.
No, it's Proper.
All right,
this is the football ramble. It's Davy Proper.
He nearly got a perfect hat trick, which annoyed me.
It did annoy you.
Why did that annoy you? What, because he didn't?
Because he didn't.
Yeah, right.
He scored. Because I said before, I tweeted out before the match, we can have a proper hat trick. But he scored one with his left and one with his head. Just needed a right footer.
Wasn't to be, though, was it?
Stinking.
But it was a better performance by the Dutch. They played with a bit more confidence, moved the ball a bit better going forward. And this captured the imagination of Ruud Gullit, who posted a video of the Dutch dressing room after the match, being very pleased with himself. And Dick Advocaat, when asked about this, said, "I think it's strange to have a camera in there." And when it was pointed out that it was Ruud Gullit, his assistant, who did the filming, he said, "That's not good. I'm going to have to talk to him about this." I love the fact I'm going to have to talk to him about this. Suggest that he keeps doing stuff that annoys the camera.
He's filming
it. Is Ruud Gullit like covertly doing some sort of Keeping Up with the Kardashian star reality show around
TMZ.
The Dutch camp?
TMZ Gullit.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know the tone of Dick Advocaat's voice, but I would like to think I'm going to have to talk to him about this. I really am. Who made him my assistant, for crying out loud? So there we are, yeah. But the Netherlands, they're struggling. I mean, they've struggled since World Cup 2014. Remarkable, really. 2010, they got the World Cup final. Had a disaster in the Euros in 2012, admittedly. And then 2014, reached the semi-final and handsomely finished third, if you remember the game against Brazil. But they are struggling. And Dick Advocaat is just papering up. Well, is he even papering over the cracks? I mean, it was interesting what Van Breukelen, the former Dutch goalkeeper, said. When Danny Blind lost his job, excuse me, as Netherlands coach, and he said, "We had two options. We could either go for a longer-term appointment, longer-term option, or we could try and go all out and get someone in who would just get us over the line to reach the World Cup." And they went for the second option. And at the moment, you think about the coaches and the players that Dutch football has produced and are producing. Look at the side. You know, Wesley Sneijder, he's not the player he was, of course. Iron Robin still got a lot of magic in his boots.
He does, but I mean, they are quite reliant on Robin.
They're
from
incredibly
what I've seen.
That's not
a great sign for the future, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Cillessen in goal doesn't play regularly for Barcelona. Daley Blind, not a bad player, but not a world beater. Wijnaldum, okay, But then I suppose you compare them to other sides. I mean, we talked about Northern Ireland, they don't have anybody playing for the likes of Manchester United or Bayern or Lazio.
They should be doing better. I think that is the point, isn't it?
I think so, yes. I think that's what we're talking about. But the Swedes are an interesting side. They got a great win away from home, 4-0 against, was it Belarus, I think? And interestingly enough, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has retired from international football. And there was talk that he might come out of international retirement. Presumably, he's looked at the group after that Luxembourg draw and gone, oh, I
fancy that.
World Cup, you say? That could be quite a nice little
nice.
Indeed. But a poll that was taken in Sweden suggested that most Swedes don't want him to return to the international team, which is very interesting. Indeed. Yeah. Perhaps that he was too talismanic, you know, but of the Wayne Rooney syndrome. Clearly, he's the best goal scorer the country has produced, and he's always going to be a bit of a blockbuster player, and a lot of them hang their hats on him.
I would take a talisman who can score a bicycle kick from 35 yards.
Yeah.
But do you think it's because I'd rub that talisman all over myself.
Give Rashford a chance.
Do you think it's because he's 35, and rationally, they probably think we have to start making plans for afterwards?
Well, there's that, but
I don't
necessarily think that. I think that they would probably think to themselves, if there's a player like him who actually can sort of hold up the player, but unnecessary, if they're a bit more fluid. You know, sometimes you see, a few years ago when you saw Cristiano Ronaldo not play for Real Madrid, some of the other players would come forward a bit. Now, don't get me wrong, Cristiano Ronaldo has been absolutely fantastic for that club, and I'm not suggesting, but when it's on the international scene, Ibrahimovic, you take him out the pack, some of those players, you know, come forward and actually there's a bit more fluidity.
Man United scored a canny few goals when he wasn't on the pitch.
Exactly, yeah. There's more solidarity there. They play more as a team, perhaps. Makes people step up. There could be an element of that. But Sweden play the Netherlands in their last match of the group, which could be a good one. You mentioned minnows earlier. The minnow derby, as I've dubbed it. Faroe Islands 1, Andorra 0. Lovely scenes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely heartwarming stuff. Shows the progress of the Faroe Islands. They're on 8 points in this
campaign.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's.
I mean, presumably they never get near that, usually.
Yeah, of course they don't. I mean, Faroe Islands used to, if they got a point,
yeah, it was going to be like, you know,
it was a national holiday kind of thing. But 8 points. And they could move up the pots as a result. Andorra below them in the group, and Latvia, who, it's a great shame.
So they could get slightly better draws next time.
Indeed, if we can remember, Latvia qualified for a European Championship. Who knows, maybe the Faroes could do it one day. Could they do it, Jim? It's very interesting to see.
Play off with Norway.
Indeed.
Win.
At the top of this group, it should be decided on the last day when Switzerland go away to Portugal. That could be a tasty one. That really could be. Both sides, very winnable games before that game. The Swiss most likely, they'll be 3 points above them, so a draw would do, but Portugal have got the better goal difference.
Mm.
So it's all to play for, rather than head-to-head results, of course. That's not what UEFA are doing this year. Portugal beat Hungary 1-0 away. I was in Hungary over the weekend, and I visited one of the most beautiful stadiums I've ever been to.
Which one?
The Pancho Arena.
Ah.
But it's such a shame, because if you read up about the Pancho Arena, it's not for nice reading, especially if you're a Hungarian citizen. Do you know Viktor Orban?
Who's the enlighten us.
No, he's the the leader of Hungary,
right.
It's more accurate to say,
okay,
shall we say. And how this stadium was financed has been come into question.
So is this a new stadium?
It's about 2 years old,
right.
I think. And it's a very small stadium. It's only about 3,500, which is double the population of the village it's in.
Oh, dear.
Happens to be the village where he's from.
Just put a statue up.
Wow.
Honestly, the house that he owns in this village, it is a stone throw away. In fact, it's literally pissing.
Is the stadium just in his garden?
Pretty much. It's absolutely shocking. It's well worth a read. If you're into it.
Has he got deep pockets? Let's move on. I've got an email about this, actually.
Oh, have you?
From Jimmy Allen. Hello, Jimmy Allen. He says, hello, Ramblers. This weekend I was in the beautiful city of Budapest for a friend's stag do.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Oi, oi. Ed's on. A lovely time was had by all. And to top it off, I got to see man of the people, he puts in inverted commas, an all-round good guy, Marcus Speller, tucking into some pre-flight grub.
Yeah, that
he
would
was
have
eating.
Happened.
Yeah. Can I speculate as to what you were eating?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
All day breakfast, no cuppa, orange Fanta, no ingredients you couldn't buy in an off-license.
Yeah, no sauce.
Absolutely. Within the M25.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Barely any moisture involved at all.
Luton's outside the M25.
Okay.
Is he saying on the way in or the way out?
Well, I think it's on the way out. But basically,
there's no all-day breakfast in Budapest.
Yeah, but I reckon you would have taken the sausages with you.
Yeah.
To have your egg.
They've got fine sausages over there. What are you talking about?
So you just take a string of sausages with you to the airport, like a cartoon dog.
He says, what I'd like to know is, was I correct telling my friends that it's rude to go and speak to somebody while they're halfway through a meal, as I had to battle the urge to meet the great man himself with my awkward slash polite Britishness?
Was great in inverted commas as well.
He bottled it, basically, which my friends all thought was hilarious.
If you see me pissed up on the continent, stay away.
Come on.
Of course you could have come and said hello.
He says, what were you doing in Budapest alone and on an international weekend?
I was visiting the Pancho Arena.
There we go.
I got an invite from Viktor Orban.
Marcus can go where he wants.
And a big the football ramble.
That's libelous. Let's move on again.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Greece 1, Belgium 2.
I love that you've literally taken over the hosting duties now to get away from this.
The Belgians are there.
The Belgians are there.
Can Pete be you for a bit? I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm still struggling to remember what I was eating. It was a slice of pizza.
Good.
There we are.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Meat feast. Right, the Belgians are there.
They sausage beat feast.
Picked out all the veggie bits.
Didn't have the dip.
It's technically a meal accoutrement, and I'm not getting involved.
What do you mean you don't put gravy on a pizza? Bloody hell. Oh, dear. Roberto Martinez and Thierry Henry have done it.
Yes,
they have done it.
This is what you get when you hire one of the best managers on earth.
Martinez has done it. The Belgians have won it.
Still want him to host here?
I'm literally...
He's going to do it in a jazz style, then I was doing
the Homer Simpson softball song from The Simpsons.
Oh, remember that? Yeah. Do that in your own time, mate.
I'm trying to get the Belgian official World Cup song. Come on, guys. Come on, Belgium.
They've actually done... Now, there's a side who have connected with their fans. I can't remember if I've said this before on a podcast, but a lot of the Belgian fans, or Belgians, would support maybe the Dutch or the French. They were a bit disillusioned with the national team. And the national team, they really worked hard, the Belgian FA, to reconnect the fans with the players and so on and so forth. And they've got a great support now.
I mean, it helps that they've got one of the best teams in Europe as well. It's weird how these two things have come along.
Well, what came first?
I really fancy this woman and she just happens to be a supermodel. Oh, what a surprise. Isn't that weird?
What?
Isn't that weird? That really took a turn.
What came first, the fans or the results? We don't have time to answer that now. Vertonghen and Lukaku got the goals. Obviously, they did. But they joined Brazil, Mexico, Iran, Japan. I think
Japan.
Germany are there. Yeah, Germany there. They must be there. If they're not there, of course they're going to be there. And England, pretty much, are there. But they're the ones that, at the time of recording, are confirmed. There may be one or two others, but I haven't been bothered to check. Lukaku says he loves having Henry at Belgium and receiving his mentoring. Lukaku, when he scored, he did cut both ears, didn't he, in front of the Greek support.
Have a bit of that, Greece.
Yeah.
Well,
put the ball in
the marbles.
Yeah, we're going to Russia next summer. I think that was the vibe. We're going to talk about Spain and Italy after the break.
I deeply regret the comments I made.
The Football Ramble preview show is out this Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you that our best bet with Bet365 came in because England scored 4 goals against Malta. We predicted 4 goals or more against the Maltese, and England did it, and they had the late flurry.
They stepped up for us.
I'm glad we didn't specify first half or second half.
No. Clever.
It came in.
It was a very
and that's the main thing.
Well done, England.
Mm.
And well done, us.
Well done, prostate cancer charities.
Absolutely right. Mm. Absolutely right. So, yes, the preview show will be out this Friday. Get your ears around that lot. Mm. We'll be talking about domestic football, or club football, should I say, back then. So that'll be something that you won't look forward to, Jim. Spain beat Italy 3-0. Isco was class again.
Oh, he's brilliant, isn't he, Isco?
Wasn't he?
With Isco and Asensio, they really look like they're about to sort of like just produce this another generation of amazing players.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
No, it's great. I miss Spain being brilliant.
Be a bit more insular, man, for crying out loud.
Do you notice the first thing that happened in the game was that someone passed a PK and he got this this huge sea of whistles. It was incredible.
Silly sausage. This was Italy's first loss in a qualifying match for a major tournament since September 2006.
Wow.
It's an incredible record. Over 50 matches.
That's incredible.
Came crashing to an end, though. I found this game quite fascinating, or quite strange, really, because the Italian manager, Gian Piero Ventura, didn't seem that bothered at all after the game in the press conference, and he said, oh, well, Spain were much better, they're a better side, so there was no point in talking about the result. Whereas they'd been fairly beaten 3-0, and you look at some of the Italians, I mean, some of the defending was very lacklustre. I'm not saying that they didn't try, of course I'm not saying that, for crying out loud.
Spain were excellent, though. I mean, did you see Isco nutmeg Verratti?
Yeah, but again, then Ventura said comments about that it was very nice to watch that in the or see that in the flesh when he nutmegged one of his own players.
That's strange, a dispassionate Italian manager. I don't think we've seen that before.
Exactly, yeah, or Claudio Ranieri maybe. But it's strange, and he philosophically said after the defeat, if we'd have won here and lost against Israel on Tuesday, we would have gone to the playoffs anyway. I mean. Presumably, if you'd beaten Spain, you'd be like, brilliant, yeah. This sets up a top of the spot.
I'm sure this is very popular back home as well, this attitude.
Well, but that's his attitude. Has that slightly leaked into the player's performance? I mean, I don't know, like, when you play against Spain and they play like that, you know, as you often say, Jim, it's kind of quit hitting yourself kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, Italy weren't that bad and Spain were that good, but I just thought it was very strange. Very strange indeed. Nice to see David Villa. Brought on in the dying minutes.
I love that. They've flown him back from America for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, you would though, wouldn't you?
I mean, I can. It doesn't matter to me. I can sit back and enjoy it.
All right, then. How about this, though? All this talk about World Cup and so on and so forth. According to reports, FIFA delegates sent to the World Cup qualifiers are no longer given the luxury treatment.
Mm.
They're put up in 3-star hotels rather than 5-star hotels, so they know what... I know what we feel like. And they travel on the cheapest flights too, no matter what time the flight is scheduled. That so they definitely know how we feel.
They're not on the Luton, you know, 5:10 jobs, are they? They can't be that. I bet it's not that early.
I hope so. Well, whatever the cheapest flight is, skyscanner.com. That's what you're on,
you
big boy.
I wonder what the motivation is, though. Is it, they'll do this for about a year or so and go, oh, can we go back to normal now? We've shown that we've learned. We've learned our lesson.
Has it blown over? No, we haven't had the cup in Qatar yet, you knobbits.
This will never blow over.
Oh, dearie me. Something that won't blow over for at least another few moments is Going for Gold.
Yes, Going for Gold is back for another week without Luke. Some more chances to win, guys. Oh, you can get the jump on that hairy man. What's the scores at the moment?
Is that your new catchphrase?
You're on two, Marcus. Jim's on one.
Did you win one?
No, Marcus stole it in the last minute. Yeah. So let's get on. Jack Beverley came up with these clues, so thank you very much, Jack Beverley. When we're going, I was born on December the 28th, 1990.
December the 28th?
Yes, 1990? You don't know it. Why are you questioning it? 1990.
Mm.
Stop. I have. What?
Is it Jonathan Joubert, the Luxembourg goalkeeper?
No, it's not. He's much older than that.
Sorry, older.
I have the same first name as one of the Ramblers.
Hmm.
I have played in England, Spain and Italy.
So 1990? Yeah. He was born. Okay.
I've played in England, Spain and Italy. My grandfather played for Real Madrid in Spain and my father played for Barcelona, Atleti and Spain.
Hmm.
My...
Stop. No, carry on.
What were you going to say?
No, because it was horrendously wrong. I embarrassed myself.
I was Bolton's player of the season in 2012-13.
Bolton's player of the season in 2012-13?
Yep.
Stop, Marcus Alonso.
It was Marcus Alonso!
Yeah! Well,
congratulations, Jim.
Lord.
Remaining clues. Last summer I cost $24 million when I left Fiorentina. I am my current club's top goal scorer of the season as at the start of the international break just gone. I was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in 2016. Max Alonso there, a Premier League winner.
Ah, well
thank
done,
you very
Jim.
Much Jack Beverley for those clues.
I don't think Luke would have got that, so that's a fair win.
I thought that was the one you were going to go for actually, initially, because it was just to be honest, the first Marcos I could think of.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is that Marcus or Marcos?
What I'm saying is I could have done it earlier, but I didn't.
Well, I know.
So step up your game, speller.
It's your humility that I love, Jim, so much. That is the end of the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen, and for international football for another few weeks at least. We're back in October. So something for us all to look forward to, I certainly will.
I forget exactly when it's... Whenever it's the most infuriating, that's when the international breaks tend to pop up, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's in the tournaments, Jim, when England get their bottoms handed to them.
And speaking of bottoms... Let's get as dry as all bum holes. That's what the international break means, but not this week, because we've got the Premier League back on Friday.
I don't know what you mean, but you're right, the Premier League is back.
Yeah.
Let's get as dry as old bum holes.
Yeah.
I just want
to... That's what international break means to a lot of people, so luckily we're back at the Premier League kick this Friday.
I wish I'd have just done the goodbyes.
Preview show. Well, maybe you should have. Maybe you should have been a bit more efficient with the way you were using your words.
I don't want you to host anymore.
Yes, it's my fault, isn't it?
Say
goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
I'll say goodbye on your behalf, Peter.
Let's not blame this on Luke. It was the international weekend.
Indeed, and it's goodbye from me.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.